Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for joining today for the Codependent Perfectionist podcast. I'm Alana Carvalho, and I'm really excited today because I have two guests that I think you guys are really going to enjoy. And I'm going to do a little intro for my guests today. I have my wonderful partner, my business partner, Lindsay Pratt. And Lindsay can give a little introduction of herself. Lindsay, do you mind telling everybody a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining. My name is Lindsay Pratt, as Alana said, and I am a licensed mental health counselor and co-founder of Intuitive Healing, which is a group psychotherapy practice with Alana.
Yes. And so Lindsay and I employ therapists at our practice that we train and we supervise to also work with codependents, perfectionists, and also many, many other different issues. And we have Alana Barlia here, which is our other guest, and she actually specializes in working with people with personality disorders. And so we thought it would be perfect to have her on because today I want to talk about narcissists and narcissistic relationships. So Alana, can you give a little introduction for yourself? And just so you know, throughout the podcast, we'll be referring to Alana as AB so that everyone's not confused about the other Alana here. So Alana, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for having me. I'm Alana Barlia. We refer to me as AB, but I am Alana and Lindsay's supervisee. And as Alana said, I specialize in personality disorders with individuals and couples. So very excited to talk about this today.
Yeah, and for those of you who are unfamiliar with personality disorders, Alana, maybe you could just kind of give a brief explanation of a general understanding of what a personality disorder is.
So a personality disorder it's a type of mental health disorder where people have very sort of rigid and pervasive types of thinking, functioning, behaving that really start to affect them, start to affect their jobs, start to affect their relationships, and oftentimes it just becomes the person becomes very misunderstood because of their ways of coping.
And I think something that always stuck with me in my training was this idea, and I think it, M. Scott Peck says it really well, that the difference between a general mental health issue versus, say, a personality disorder is that someone with a personality disorder tends to really impact those around them, whereas someone with a mental health disorder really, really impacts oneself. And, you know, although obviously mental health disorders affect the people around it too, personality disorders do so in such a different way and are often the person is really unaware of how much they're impacting those around them.
Sure, definitely. I think with personality disorders, a lot of what goes on is that our way of relating to others and our way of responding emotionally and our way of sort of behaving based off of our thought patterns in our relationships can be very, very problematic for the people in our lives.
Right. So I'm wondering, Alana, would you, or AB, I should say, would you be able to maybe help the audience understand what a typical narcissistic personality disordered person presents like?
Sure, definitely. So narcissism is basically like a set of behaviors and thought processes that is born out of a really fragile ego. So because of that really deep-rooted, fragile ego bruise, they sort of cope with that by having a very inflated sense of self. So this comes out sort of with like being very self-important, having a superiority complex, a very intense need for admiration. They can be very manipulative, but these are also the people that are super charismatic, can be really charming, often monopolize the room. But it also means that they oftentimes lack empathy and something that we call narcissistic rage. Narcissists also tend to become very, very angry at very sort of small things.
Sure. Yeah, and I think similar to people who suffer with borderline personality disorder, I think that there's often a feeling when you're in a relationship with narcissists of kind of walking on eggshells, not knowing what might set them off at any moment.
Definitely.
And I think the tricky piece too that AB mentioned is the lack of empathy really makes it in some ways a very lopsided relationship. And as Alana discussed, of feeling like one is walking on eggshells, it's a tricky thing to navigate because oftentimes a person's reality really isn't being considered from the view of the narcissist because there's really just a disconnect there in the ability to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think it's really important because codependency and narcissism are so strongly tied together, meaning codependents tend to really attract narcissists into our lives and often form these really enmeshed codependent relationships with them where we're trying to fix them and soothe them and make them feel better. And so I thought it's really important, I believe, for us to maybe talk about what it feels like as codependents for us to be in a relationship with a narcissist. And you just touched on one there, Lindsay, that I think is really important. And so maybe we can talk a little bit more about what it feels like in these relationships.
Definitely. I look at codependence and narcissists as like the perfect storm because narcissists have such this need for validation, gratification, but they make it almost impossible for you to feel that you are meeting their needs. And codependents, right, of course, really need to meet others' emotional needs to feel okay.
Right.
But this can look really sort of emotionally exhausting and emotionally abusive for the codependent because narcissists can become overly critical, overly punishing, diminishing, taking a lot of jabs at their partners in terms of like intelligence, appearance, capabilities. So it can become very, very, you know, exhausting for the partner.
Sure. And I also, one of the things that always stands out to me is when, you know, I see consistently in my practice codependents who are gaslit by the narcissist in their life. And often I find that it starts in a parental dynamic and then we often kind of continue it in, you know, our friendships and our love relationships, et cetera. So for me, for those of you who don't truly understand what gaslighting means and is about, it's when someone is really doing something that makes you feel like you're crazy. And I see time and time again that narcissists really have a way of making codependents and the people they're in relationship with feel like they're crazy. And so us as codependents start to question our reality. Is that really what happened? Is that really, you know, what they said? Did they look at me funny? I thought they did. And you know, we lose our sense of self often in these relationships. Have you seen
really,
that? Oh, go ahead, Lindsay.
I was just going to say, it can really become sort of a loop because when we're in our codependency, we're more apt to leave ourselves and focus attention on the other person anyway. So when that's happening, as Alana mentioned, and there's this questioning of like, what's going on here? Like, what is what I believe or what I see actually happening? It's all that more focus that's put on the other person and almost scratching an itch of trying to validate one's experience while they're being gaslit. So it really tends to operate in this loop of more focus on the narcissist, more focus on the narcissist and less on the codependent.
Yeah. And I think part of that I find, and I wonder if you guys see it in other ways too, but one of the things that I find commonly is that, you know, the narcissist isn't always bad or mean. Like there's a lot of times where they're really nice, where they're great, or they're, you know, they're giving gifts or they're doing positive things, which only kind of furthers, I think, the confusion that the codependent tends to feel in terms of identifying, is this a really negative relationship for me? What do you guys think about that?
I mean, sure, it makes me think about personality disorders as a whole, which the reality is that many people who struggle and are working through a personality disorder, in many ways, their personality is actually quite lovely, especially for the people that may be a little bit further removed from it and kind of see them from a social standpoint. Maybe it's, you know, someone's a figure in their town or at their church or in their community. And it's really only when people tend to get closer where some of the stuff really manifests in a darker way. But yeah, I mean, a lot of times narcissists, there's almost this benevolent aspect to it where they're quite friendly and gregarious and helpful to a whole swath of people, but it's those that they're really close to that can kind of see a deeper look.
Yeah, absolutely. AB, did you want to jump in there?
Yeah, definitely. I think the thing with narcissists often is that they can be very charming and charismatic and sort of life of the party, but oftentimes they don't even seek therapy until there's a problem in a relationship in their life that they really truly want to fix. It's just for lack of sort of understanding about how their behaviors are really affecting their partner. They have very little self-awareness about that. But it's not necessarily that they don't want to fix the relationships in their life genuinely.
Right. And the tough part too, I find as a therapist, and I'm sure AB, you could really speak to this too, is that oftentimes someone with a true narcissistic personality disorder, not someone just struggling with narcissistic issues, but really true more personality disordered issue, can be really resistant to therapy and looking because they don't have the ability really to look at how they're contributing negatively to a relationship issue. And I believe and imagine that there's a connection there in terms of what you talked about earlier with that kind of fragile ego piece, that it's difficult for narcissists to kind of look inward and identify how they might be negatively contributing to something.
Yeah, definitely. It's totally born out of this deep-rooted ego bruise and honestly a lot of self-loathing. So when a narcissist has to come to face something that they may have, you know, been contributing negatively to a relationship, it's very, very difficult for them to see, and it's very painful.
Right.
So, you know, it can be very difficult for them to actually acknowledge on a conscious level what role they've been playing in their relationships and that they've been hurting their loved ones.
Yeah, and so I think it's so common that codependents will spend years in these relationships really questioning whether they should leave them, whether they're really that bad, especially, you know, as both of you spoke about kind of the gregariousness of a narcissist, that it's often that, you know, other people will have a different perspective of that person. So when a codependent tries to speak about how they're experiencing the relationship, others will often also see them as crazy, you know, for seeing this person so differently or describing them so differently than maybe others in the community see, right? So I'm wondering, you know, what do you guys think? I often get questions around narcissistic relationships and people who are really struggling in terms of what to do. What do you guys think on that?
And do you mean on the codependent side of the partner of someone in a narcissistic partnership?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it, I think, is so true of any codependency work in that taking a step back and really focusing a lot of energy and attention on building up oneself and really checking the need to sort of fix, control, change the other person is a big piece of it. And AB works, you know, primarily with couples in this sense. So I'm curious, Alana, if how that kind of looks for you in a couples session versus people doing their own therapeutic work.
Yeah, sure. So it usually in a couples session, the narcissist is actually a little bit more open to, you know, seeing what's going on because they're in the session. But a lot of it is sort of about targeted behaviors between the couple. And a lot of it is about trying to, you know, motivate the codependent to see themselves as an individual person in the couple that has their own emotional states, right? And then trying to work on with the narcissist on sort of taking a step back, right? So trying to equalize some of the power dynamics within the relationship.
Yeah, and I think power is a big one here, because what I also think is important for codependents to know is that that narcissists are often moving in the relationship in a way that allows them to maintain power. And what I think is really important to look at when we're deciding if a relationship should be in our life or not is the person's ability, the narcissist's ability to take some responsibility, and also allow the codependent space to find their own power and step into the relationship as an equal. And to me, when that can happen, that there is possibility for a relationship to heal and change. I do believe the truth is it's less likely to happen when someone is in a relationship with someone else who is a narcissist. But that it can happen under those circumstances. And I have seen it happen where there's healing and growth. But you're right, it takes a lot of work on the codependent's part, also of putting in boundaries and seeing if the narcissist is going to respect those boundaries, right? And allow the other person to state their needs and try to meet those needs, and on and on. So is there anything that you feel like I'm maybe missing there in terms of what is important for people to know if they're considering maybe ending a relationship with someone that they believe is maybe narcissistically abusive towards them and that the relationship isn't able to change in those ways?
Sure. So if the narcissistic relationship has really turned toward narcissistic abuse and the codependent or the other partner really wants out, it's important to remember a couple of things. I think one is that you're not powerless, right? Narcissists kind of slowly erode at your sense of self-worth and power over time. So trying to remain strong, reaching out to a therapist, reaching out to the people in your life, using your support system, but also acknowledging like it's not your fault, right? There are roles that we play and dynamics within every relationship. But they're, you know, the narcissist criticism are projections of their own insecurity and that kind of thing. And you may just need a support system to get out if that's really what is going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's another piece of it too, that oftentimes the codependent, lacks some of that support. Narcissists may, kind of try to remove them from the supports in their lives that help them see how destructive their relationship is, right? So definitely building up those supports, I agree, is so, so important.
Especially when that's another area that one might be gaslit in is, you know, their other relationships with their family and their close friends of over time, potentially believing that those relationships are actually the unhealthy ones or the ones without value due to some of the gaslighting that may have occurred. And that's where it can be really, you know, insidious over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the really common pieces of it is that from what I see that narcissists will often start to kind of pit the codependent against the other kind of important people in their life that help support them so that they end up being isolated in many ways. And then the narcissist has, you know, kind of absolute power there.
Yeah.
So thank you guys so much. I think I hope that was really informative for people. There's so much we could talk about here. It's a really important topic. And for those of you out there who are struggling with a relationship with someone who may have narcissistic personality disorder or may be suffering with some narcissistic traits, definitely we suggest reaching out for support. Therapists are really important here because they're an unbiased view of this whole situation and can help you really identify if that's what's going on. AB, can you give your contact info for anybody who might be looking to explore this a little bit further, or maybe even do some couples work on it?
Sure, definitely. So my website is therapywithab.com. And there you can find my email. It's alanabarlia@intuitivehealingnyc.com. And I look forward to hearing from people.
Thanks so much. And just a reminder for everybody, the Codependent Perfectionist Guides Parenting, Raising Empowered Children. It's out on Amazon right now. And also my card deck, the Codependent Perfectionist Oracle cards are out. If anyone wants some extra support at home, especially right now, if you're listening in real time while most of us are home, I hope that they can be a support for you guys. And Lindsay, any closing words? Lindsay's also doing some really great work. If you want to share anything about yourself and anything you're doing over there.
Yeah, thank you. So I'm working on a book right now, a very different topic, but around mindfulness with balanced drinking use for the average drinker. So stay tuned for more info about that. And you can find out a little bit more about that on my website, which is just meetlindsey.com, meetlindsey.com. And I can attest to Alana's cards and book, and they're fantastic. So
thank you. And Lindsay and I are actually going to be doing another podcast that is specifically around drinking codependency. So stay tuned for that. We will have that coming soon. So thanks everyone for joining. Just a reminder, my website is alanacarvalho.com. And yeah, thank you. Please reach out with any questions, comments, or concerns.
Thank you for having us.
You got it.